from Redeemer Broadcasting. This is Holding All Things Together for this final weekend in March. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. We sometimes take the freedom of speech for granted, as we live in a nation that allows it. Especially so as we go to church visibly, a church with a sign out front announcing our services. The people come on Sunday, freely attending the services which are streamed regularly. Sermons are available for download. It's so easy to forget the freedoms that we are given, but praise God for them. Yet if we go to another nation, like India, let's say, where the government, on paper, says religious freedom is a constitutional right, its implementation of that freedom has faced significant international and domestic scrutiny in recent years. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, USCIRF, has recommended that the U.S. State Department designate India as a country of particular concern. The main persecutors to Christians are well-organized Hindu extremist groups, local governments, and nationalist Hindus who seek to purify India by making it entirely Hindu. They seek to appease Hindu deities by eliminating Christians, and they view Christian converts as traitors to the Hindu homeland. Yet, amid the danger today, we talk with a pastor who will remain unnamed. He quietly seeks to evangelize some of the tribal people in India. His tools are the Jesus movie in various languages, and his reports are most encouraging. Today, we talk with this pastor.
I'm using Jesus movie, so I bought a projector and loaded that projector with different Jesus movies in different languages. And I'm going into these tribal people who live in the woods, in the midst of woods, so which also requires us to walk for a few miles.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisco discusses the doctrine of sin. He asks, what does every sin deserve? The answer is difficult. Every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God. And yet, there is hope. Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss asks, as a Christian, do you know that your work carries with it a holy significance? One of the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation was to dismantle the barrier between sacred and secular professions. The butcher, baker, and candlestick maker's work, as the Reformers understood and taught, was as much a service to God as that of the local magistrate or gospel minister. This Christian understanding of work revolutionized Western culture. Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
We're dealing with the form of sound teaching. Incidentally, the word sound, you can really interpret that in one way. It's good for you. It's health-giving, not only for body, but also for soul. It's medicine for the soul. Good doctrine. Bad doctrine is really bad for you. Anyway, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which you can secure from Redeemer Broadcasting, we're dealing with the form of sound doctrine dealing with the doctrine of sin, Shorter Catechism 84. This is really scary. What does every sin deserve? Every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and in that which is to come. Every sin, yes, it's true, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, any sin, is death. Because Paul says in Galatians 3 and verse 10, listen to this, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the words of the law to do them. Or as another scripture says, if you've offended at one point, you've offended the whole thing. And that brings God's wrath in this life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6 does not speak about the wrath of God that will come, although it will. It speaks of the wrath of God that comes on the sons of disobedience. Romans 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness in this life and in that which is to come. There is, brothers and sisters and friends, a real heaven that you have when you are in Christ. But there is a real hell that you have if you are outside of Christ. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 and following, Jonathan Edwards had it right. Your wickedness makes you, as it were, heavy as lead, and to tend downward with great weight and pressure toward hell. And if God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend into the bottomless gulf. And your own care and prudence and self-contrivance would have no more power to uphold you than a spider's web has to uphold a falling rock. Or as the late Martin Lloyd-Jones put it, what's the most important message for our day? And it is, flee from the wrath to come. God's given you a city of refuge, friends, and that's in Jesus Christ. Run to him and you're safe.
On the Zoom line with us today is a pastor friend who I just met, and he is from India. Dear Pastor, welcome to our program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for having me here. It's my privilege and honor.
I'm interested. You're a minister in India, and maybe you could give the folks a big picture. How do you go about reaching to your folks there in India, the flock? How do you do that? How do you reach the people of India?
Sir, as you know, India is very big with 1.4 billion people. And India has around 30 official languages and some hundreds of unofficial languages. So I have to think about the language that people are speaking as I go into different people groups. And I'm using Jesus Movie. So I bought a projector and loaded that projector with different Jesus movies in different languages. And I'm going into these tribal people who live in the woods, in the midst of woods, so which also requires us to walk for a few miles, and then which also requires us to carry a generator sometimes. So I go and play the Jesus movie, and that's how I share the gospel and plant churches, sir.
Oh, that's wonderful. I had no idea. That sounds like a really wise thing to do. That way you've got the video that kind of captures them, and this video you have in different languages, so that way they can understand.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Oh, that's good. This is like a fireside chat today. We didn't rehearse this ahead of time. This is like I just met you on the street and we're having a talk, but God is doing a work through you.
Praise the Lord.
You were called to this ministry. What transpired such that you, quote-unquote, heard the voice of the Lord and responded to his call?
Yes, sir. Maybe let me share a little bit about my testimony here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So my mother did not have children for the first 5 to 6 years of our marriage. My dad, who really wanted children because he wanted an heir for the property and all that he's doing.
Yeah.
So he was so desperate for the children. So when he could not wait any longer, he told to my mother that, hey, honey, I'm sorry, it seems you will never have children. So I'm going to get another wife, a concubine, and I'm going to stay with her in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the proposal. I mean, that's the idea he had, and talked to my mother, which she didn't agree, you know, but he didn't care about her. Then he was selfish and he brought her, and through her, after 1 year, they had a boy baby. My dad and the woman, they try to abuse my mother, and they look down on her just because she couldn't have children, and they treated her as a maid in the house. Oh. So, which allowed my mother to look for a real God beyond the idols that she was worshiping.
Right.
So that's how she heard about Jesus Christ in a radio program. And she heard about the story of Hannah, who didn't have children, but she prayed to God.
Yes.
For a son. And then she got the son. So that's how even my mother prayed and said, if I get a boy baby, I would dedicate him back to you, Lord. And after 1 year, she became pregnant. But my father and his second wife, who did not expect my mother to have children,
right,
they wanted to abort the baby, kill the baby, because they want only their children to be the heir and get the property, because that's the kind of promise that my father's second wife was made, or that's the agreement they both had. She wanted her children to be the heir. So that's how they didn't like my mother's pregnancy. But to save the baby and herself, my mother had to run away. So after ran away, I was born, not knowing father. In India, we have again caste system, which classifies you, what caste you belong to without your choice.
So
they call me as one of the low caste person. So as a low caste person, not having father, and my mother was also not able to have answers for her husband and where he is and all that. So she went through a lot of abuse. I saw my mother being abused, and even I went through a lot of abuse, but a lot of poverty and all that. But the gospel, when I heard the gospel, I came to know that Jesus loves me. He doesn't have any discrimination. He loved me so much that he came down to this earth and he took my place. I supposed to die for my sins because I supposed to receive the punishment as a sinner. But Jesus loved me so much that he doesn't want me to go through that punishment.
Yeah.
Instead, he went himself through that punishment. So when I understood this gospel, I now have a value. I now have a respect. I'm so much joyful, and I want to share this gospel with as many people as possible in India, because I know that many of them are going through what I went through.
Yes.
The poverty, discrimination, and all that abuse, whatever you name, they're going through it. And I believe gospel is the solution, sir.
Amen. Oh, that's a wonderful testimony. Today we're talking with a pastor from India. We're not telling his name over the air or where he lives in India, but he has a real ministry to the people, and he uses the Jesus movie in various languages to get through to the people. There's so many languages there in the land. Let me ask you this, Pastor. Do the people respond after they see your movie?
Brother Dan, you wouldn't believe that many, many people, when they know, because most of the people that I deal with are either Hindu brothers and sisters, or they are animistic people. They worship spirits. So these spirits and even my Hindu gods and goddesses require you to bring some kind of offering when you come to them. Either you bring some fruits or some flowers, or you have to cook something at home and bring it and offer, keep it at the idol. I am hoping that, idol accepts that, he blesses you. So this also kind of gives, it pressurizes people to, it's a kind of a burden for people, and it's a pressure on people to do something on their own. But when we stand and tell them that, hey, you don't have to do that when you come to Jesus Christ, all that he wants is your heart. He wants you more than what you can bring, like your flower or your fruit or your food. In fact, he's the provider of all our needs. He would bless us with food. He would meet our needs if we give our heart to him. That message is like something that they never heard.
It's a wonderful message. Yes, absolutely.
They're coming. And we have over 20 house churches so far, Pastor, and they're thriving, and praise the Lord.
That's wonderful. We've got about 2 minutes left. Today we're talking with a pastor from India, unnamed, at a location that we cannot divulge, and I actually don't know it myself. At a high level, Pastor, we get in the next 1 minute, are there any dangers that you go through that you would like our listeners to pray for you?
Yes, sir. My brother, please do this for me. You know, in India, we are not given religious freedom, brother. We are not allowed to, you know, worship. We are not given freedom to choose our religion. We are not allowed to worship who we want. So I have, even now, I have friends who, the pastor friends whose churches are being, you know, raided by police, and they arrest the pastor and ask the believers to leave and not come back, and falsely charging the pastor that he is forcefully converting people. And the police are not inquiring, and they don't have any evidence, but they just charge. And there is a law that says anti-conversion law that says, you know, anybody, I mean, without any investigation, you can arrest somebody accusing them of forcefully converting somebody. So, but here I see that in the United States, many Hindu brothers and sisters have a lot of freedom to come here. And I have seen even Hindu temples in United States. Mm-hmm. When my brothers and sisters have, Hindu brothers and sisters have so much freedom in the United States to follow their Hindu religion, why can't they request their fellow Hindu brothers and sisters in India to allow we Christians to follow our religion?
You would think there's some kind of a reciprocal. Today we've been talking with a pastor from India. Pray for this man. I'm sorry we can't give you his name. He's out there. He's doing real work. He's using the Jesus movie, and it's ministering to many people, tribal people, in the middle of the woods. And, Pastor, I want to thank you today for joining us. May God bless you and be with you and prosper the work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's my privilege and honor once again. Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Thank you. As a Christian, do you know that your work carries with it a holy significance? One of the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation was to dismantle the barrier between sacred and secular professions. The butcher, baker, and candlestick maker's work, the Reformers understood and taught, was as much a service to God as that of the local magistrate or gospel minister. This Christian understanding of work revolutionized Western culture. Today, Jerry Wiss reviews this important understanding of work from a biblically Christian perspective. Jerry is a regular contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the electrician, the plumber, the HVAC technician, the software engineer, the journalist, the human resources manager, the attorney, the physician, the company CEO. What do all these have in common? Well, they are all made in the image of God, certainly, but if they are Christians who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, they share something else as well. Each has a calling to perform his or her work to the glory of God, and each can know that this work matters to God. There is dignity in work, however difficult it may be, or however difficult its navigation may be through the reefs and shoals of other personalities and their priorities in the workplace. What's more, the workplace is a laboratory for sanctification. We are Christians not only at home and at church, but everywhere. And the workplace, occupying as it does a major amount of time where we are, is not only not an exception, it's perhaps the central place where we are called to work out our Christian faith in our tasks and in our working and relating with others. Too often, home and church are treated as a kind of panic room. the place to run to and hide until the marauders take what they want from their home invasion and leave. Home and church should indeed be places of rest, physical, mental, and spiritual, but the scriptures identify God, not our familiar spaces, as our refuge and our strength. David writes, indeed, he sings of God being his rock, his shield, his high tower. Do we know what it is to avail ourselves of the Lord's presence and grace to meet our challenges at work, but possibly also at home and at church? Mature Christianity does not run away from the world, even though it recognizes its danger in luring us away from Christ. In fact, it's because it recognizes this danger that mature Christians can be, as our Lord taught us, as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves in the world. Our salvation is not to be siloed away from the other common things of life. We need to bring it to bear with the knowledge of the Word of God into those other common things. We need to press on to maturity. Up until the Protestant Reformation, there was a cleft between sacred and secular, as introduced and encouraged in the Middle Ages. Clergy were considered special, set aside from the riffraff of the world, while the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker were second-class citizens of the kingdom of God. One of the great benefits of the Reformation, which made the Word of God available to everyone, was to shatter this illusion. The common tradesman and housewife and mother at their work are no less important than the work of the local minister. Luther wrote, quote, "It looks like a small thing when a maid cooks and cleans and does other housework, but because God's command is there, even such a small work must be praised as a service of God, far surpassing the holiness and asceticism of all monks and nuns. Such work has no appearance of sanctity," he continues, "and yet these very works in connection with the household are more desirable than of those hidden away in monasteries." William Tyndale had written, quote, "that were we to look externally, there is a difference betwixt washing of dishes and preaching of the Word of God, but as touching to please God, none at all." The great English Puritan William Perkins agrees. He wrote, quote, "the action of a shepherd in keeping sheep is as good a work before God as is the action of a judge in giving a sentence, or a magistrate in ruling, or minister in preaching," end quote. This freeing of the Christian to understand his toil, however circumscribed by the effects of the fall, as possessing a holy significance to God, regardless of the task, revolutionized Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries, to the point that industriousness and productivity increased beyond expectation. This is likewise our inheritance here in the United States. We need to recapture that today.
Time once again for This Week in History. March 25th, 1634. Having been granted a charter by King Charles I of England, George Calvert, the first Lord Baltimore, sends two ships, the Ark and the Dove, to the New World and establishes an English settlement at St. Clement's Island in what becomes Maryland. March 26, 1953. Dr. Jonas Salk announces on radio that he has successfully tested a vaccine that will work against the virus that causes polio. In 1952, some 58,000 new cases of polio were found in the United States alone. The first year for the vaccine will be 1957, when the number of new cases drops to less than 6,000. Salk will be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1977. And March 28, 1984. To the citizens of Maryland, it was a day that will live in infamy. The team that made the NFL into a national television phenomenon was secreted away in the middle of the night from their home in the Baltimore suburbs
to the new franchise home in Indianapolis. The storied Baltimore Colts, known for championships with Johnny Unitas, Gino Marchetti, and Art Donovan, were pawns for temperamental owner Robert Irsay, who moved the team when the city of Baltimore refused his demand for a new stadium. Mayflower moving vans still move discreetly in the area. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to contact us for any reason, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.